All right, take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Let me just say to those that help us clean the church, let me just say two things. This is the fourth Saturday of the month, so we'll be down at the soup kitchen Saturday morning, 9:30, 10 o'clock. And then we'll be cleaning the church on Saturday afternoon, okay? I'll try to sneak out a little bit early. I always like to leave before they start doing the dishes, okay? I'll just be honest with you. So I'll try to be here by 1 o'clock, and so if you can come and help us, we'd be glad to have you. All right, Luke chapter 2, I just want to read one verse tonight for the scripture reading, one verse that we'll look at, verse 10, Luke chapter 2, where the Bible says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." I was up at the hospital yesterday visiting with Brother Spence, and Dennis and his mom was there. I got to stay a little bit longer yesterday, and the news was on. And so Dennis and I were talking to each other about, you know, we had this bad story, and then you had this sad story, and then you had another bad story, and then another sad story. And I was there for about an hour, and I sort of did a little informal counting in my brain. I think there was one good story and 24 bad or sad stories that were on the news. And Dennis says, he said, "That's why I don't watch TV. That's why I don't even watch the news, because everything's sad or bad. I mean, there's nothing uplifting that comes across the airways on TV." He says, he said, "You know, if I watch it, it just gets me discouraged. It gets me defeated." And a lot of people say, "Well, that's the liberal press that's behind all that." Well, I'll tell you tonight who's really behind it. Satan is behind it. Because he knows that if he can get us discouraged and defeated about what's going on in the world, that we'll say, "Well, what's the use? Why should we even try? Let's just give up." And tonight, I have some good news for you. I have a book, and most of you have a book, that is full of good news. And we'd be a lot better off to spend our time in this news and listening to this good news than we would listening to all the news that the world wants us to listen to. Now, I would tell you, you say, "Well, preacher, don't you think there's any bad news in the Bible?" I think there's some bad news in the Bible. I think the judgment of God can be bad news for people. The fact that God will judge sin For those that don't turn to him, for those that ignore the things of God, the judgment of God is a heap of bad news for those people that ignore him. I think the price that people have to pay for sin, not only when they live in this world, but again for all eternity in that place called hell, is bad news. I mean, there's nothing good about hell. I mean, I know some people say, "Well, I'm going to go there so I can be with all my friends." You're not going to be with your friends. You're alone in hell. Yeah, you'll hear other people, the weeping and gnashing of teeth, but it's not like you're going to sit around and fellowship together and have coffee. That's not what it's going to be in hell. It's going to be a time of suffering. And so the story of hell is bad news. But here's what I was thinking. The bad news of the Bible is there, so the good news in the Bible is gooder. Huh? I'm using one of Brother Leonard's words. He influences me more than you think. But again, the bad news in the Bible is there to make the good news gooder. Let me give you some examples. It was bad news in the book of Genesis when Adam had considered all the animals and named all the animals, and it says, "But for Adam, there was not found a helpmate for him." That's bad news. I mean, he saw the Mr. and Mrs. Lion, and he saw Mr. and Mrs. Giraffe, and Mr. and Mrs. Elephant. And he saw all the animals, and they all had helpmates, and the Bible says there was none found for him. And you know the story. God put him to sleep and took one of his ribs and made a woman, made Eve. And when Adam woke up from this deep sleep that God had put him into, God said, "Hey, Adam, I got some good news for you. I have found you a helpmeet." And he brought Eve out and introduced her to Adam. And Adam said, "Wow." Say, "Preacher, I've never read that in the Bible." Well, if I ever write a version, I'm putting it in there. Wow. And by the way, I got to tell you, I was reminded of this story this week. That's why it's in my Bible study tonight. And I have to disguise this so that you won't figure out who it is. But in the past couple of weeks, I was talking to one of our men. And we were just talking about the things of God. And he started talking about how good God was to him in giving him his wife. I mean, he just went on and on. And I mean, you know, sometimes when we have testimonies and you know how Angie gets...
I was going to say, you can tell
it's me. Yeah, you would like me to, right? But, you know, sometimes when Angie gets going about how great Nick is and how all we all sort of feel uncomfortable, you know, and say, man, I felt like this talking to this guy. I said, man, I mean, he was talking about his wife and how good God was to give her. And I know that God's good to us when he gives us our wives. But, you know, usually two guys sitting around, you don't talk about stuff like that. But he was just going on and on and on about it. Now, I'm sure some of you ladies would like to know, well, was that my husband? I'm not telling. I swore myself to secrecy. But again, an example of where the bad news in the Bible, where there was not a helpmeet for Adam, just made the good news gooder when Eve came along. Here's another example. It was bad news when the Israelites started complaining, and God sent the fiery serpents into the camp, and they bit people, and everybody that they bit died. Now, I'll be honest with you, I feel like snakes, like Brother Larry Maxwell does. He hates snakes. I hate snakes. We see a snake, we run. We see a snake, we call our wives and say, hey, take care of this, would you? That's what Brother Larry does. That's what I do. But these snakes came into the camp, and they began to bite everybody, and they began to die. And the good news was, as it came into this situation, that Moses made a brazen serpent, a serpent out of brass, put it on a pole, and said, hey, anybody that's been bitten by the snake is in the process of dying. If you turn your face and look toward this brazen serpent, you will be healed. Again, it was bad news when they started getting bit, but the bad news just made the good news gooder so that when the serpent was uplifted, they could be healed. One more example. It was bad news when Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, besieged Samaria. The Bible says there was a great famine. They got so hungry that they would buy donkey's heads for 80 pieces of silver. Can you imagine paying 80 pieces of silver for a donkey's head to eat? And then they paid 5 pieces of silver for dove's dung to eat. 80 pieces for ass's head, 5 pieces for dove's dung. And you go back and you're reading the story in 2 Kings, they began to eat their children. I mean, they were so hungry, they began to eat their children. And so, bad news. But the good news came when God caused the Syrians to hear the sound of a great host. They fled for their life, and they left all their provisions behind in the camp. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of Syria, where the next day, a measure of fine flour sold for a shekel, a lot less than a piece of silver, and 2 measures of barley sold for a shekel. Again, bad news when the famine came, but the bad news was there just to make the good news when it came gooder, gooder. Now, God's a just God. If we ignore him and his law, he will judge us. And the price that has to be paid for sin is high. The Bible says, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It says, the wages of sin is death. And I'll just remind you tonight, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, hell is a real place.
It is not the figment of somebody's imagination. It is not something that somebody made up just to scare us into getting saved. Hell is a real place. It's a place of fire. It's a place of the bottomless pit. It's a place where the worm dieth not. It's a place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the payment for our sin is to end up in that place forever, separated from God. But the good news is God made a way out. Gave us a way to escape. He loved us while we were yet sinners. He sent Christ to die in our place. And if we'll ask him, he'll save us. And so there's a bad news story when it comes to sin and the punishment for sin. But that bad news story just makes the good news that God loved us and made us a way out gooder. Gooder. Now, I want to say a couple of things tonight about good news. As we think this time of year of the tidings and the good news that the angels brought to the shepherds, three things I want to say about good news. Number one, good news needs to be acted upon. It needs to be acted upon. When you hear something good that promises some benefit, you need to act and do what you need to do to get the benefit. Huh? Makes sense, right? I mean, if you hear good news and say, hey, here's something good, and you have to do something to get that, go ahead and do it. Good news needs to be acted upon. When God brought Eve to Adam, he acted. The Bible says he took her and clave unto her. That means he gave her a big hug to start with. When the Israelites heard about the uplifted serpent, they needed to look. They needed to act on what they heard. And I don't know how many looked, but I do know this. Everybody that looked was healed. When word came to the Samaritans that the Syrians were fleeing, they needed to act. They needed to go out to the camp of the Syrians and spoil their tents. Again, I don't know how many did, but I know this. Those that did were fed. Those that did got all the provisions that they wanted and needed. When the people of Noah's day heard about the ark, that they had a chance to be saved from this flood that was coming, they needed to act. They needed to get on board the ark. Only Noah and seven members of his family got on the ark. Everybody else was there. They heard about the good news, but they didn't act on it. And as a result, they drowned. When Naaman heard that his leprosy could be cured just by going to dip himself seven times in the Jordan River, he needed to act on it. He needed to just do what the prophet told him to do. You remember he said, well, the rivers back home are cleaner than this dirty old River Jordan. I'll just go back home, take a bath in them. And you remember one of his servants came to him and said, Master, if the prophet had asked you to do something hard, you would have done it without question. And he gave you something easy to do. Just go dip yourself seven times in the Jordan River. And Naaman acted on that. He went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan River, and he came up out of that river with his leprosy cured, gone. When the Israelites heard that the promised land was theirs, and they came to that place, Kadesh Barnea, they needed to act upon the news. They needed to go in and take the promised land. Well, they didn't. They turned away from it. And as you know the story, everybody over 20 years old died except for two. And I could go on and on and on because this book is filled with good news. It's filled with things that God wants us to have if we'll simply act on the news that are there. I mean, people need to act on the news that the shepherds brought. People need to act on what they hear in the gospel. They're sinners. The wages of sin is death. Jesus paid for their sin. And if they'll act on it and ask him to be their Savior, he'll save them. And yet many people will go to hell because they ignore the gospel. They never act on what they hear. They never get the benefit of the good news because they don't act upon it. So number one, good news needs to be acted upon. Number two, good news needs to be shared. Needs to be shared. And again, I told you, I always like to picture in my mind how I would act if I was the person in a situation that's described in the Bible. And again, here's what I think Adam did when God gave him Eve. I think he took her by the hand. He said, come on, I'm going to show you around where we live. And he went over to his lion buddy. He said, hey, Mr. Lion, you see what God gave me? He went over to Mr. Giraffe and Mrs. Giraffe and said, hey, let me introduce you to my wife, Eve. You see what God gave me? And I think he took her around, gave her the grand tour, introduced her to Eve, to all his animal friends, and was excited showing them what God had given him. I can see a dad running to his family that had been bitten by the snake and they were dying. I can see him as he puts his arms around his wife and lifts her up, and puts his arms around his children and lifts them up and said, hey, look, see that snake? Look at that brazen snake, because if you look at it, you'll be healed. I can see a teenager running back to his house in the city of Samaria, rousting his dad and mom out of bed and his younger brothers and sisters out of bed. See, it was the middle of the night when word came that the Syrians had left. I mean, only teenagers would be up at that time of night to hear this news. Unless you're grading papers or baking cookies. Right, Denise? Yeah. So I can see a teenager running back in the middle of the night saying, hey, Dad, Mom, get up, get the baskets, get the buckets. The Syrians have left. Boy, are we going to eat good tonight. I can see him or her running through and sharing that news. I want you to notice, and again, I know one of my examples was made up, but maybe they're all made up. But I think it could have happened that way. And I want you to notice, they didn't share that good news because it was just their duty. They didn't share that good news because somebody told them they had to. They shared that good news because they were excited about it. They shared that good news because they could see the benefit of that good news, not just for themselves, but for those that they loved. They shared that good news because they couldn't hold it in. They couldn't hold it in. They said like Peter and John did in Acts chapter 4, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Remember the religious leader said, hey, don't talk about Jesus anymore. Just shut up. Just don't talk about him. And said, well, we don't know whether it's right to obey you or whether we should obey God, but tell you what, we can't help but speak it. If we tried to hold it in, we would bust. We've got to tell it. Jeremiah said the same thing in chapter 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He said, I couldn't keep it in. I mean, I didn't do it just because God, I didn't prophesy and share this news because God told me to do it. I did it because I couldn't hold it in. It had to have an outlet. It had to come out. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 17, talking about the shepherds, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. When the shepherds saw Jesus, they didn't go out and tell people about Jesus because they had the Great Commission. It wasn't even written yet. They didn't go out and tell people about Jesus because God told them that that's what they should do. They went out and told people about Jesus because they were so excited about finding the Messiah, about seeing the Savior, they couldn't hold it in. They had to tell somebody. I was thinking last night, too many of us as Christians have gotten over being saved. We've gotten over being saved. We've lost the wonder. We've lost the awe. We take it for granted. If we tell somebody about Jesus, we do it because of Matthew 28, 19 and 20, or Mark 16, 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We do it because Jesus said we have to. I think this is a good time of year to remember what sinners we were and are. I don't ever want to forget that I'm a sinner. I don't want to ever forget that all my righteousnesses in God's sight are as filthy rags. I don't want to ever forget how he so loved the world. I don't want to ever forget how so great salvation is. As I think about what God did for me when I was a sinner and sent Jesus to die in my place, I want to get excited about it. I want to feel the same way that some of these that we've talked about tonight felt when they said, I can't hold it in. I just can't. Maybe it's not appropriate to do it in this place. Maybe this is not the right time. But if I tried to hold it in, I'm going to bust. I got to tell somebody about Jesus. Oh, that we could get excited again like that, to where regardless of who we were with or what circumstance we were in, whether it was appropriate or not, or whether we thought we should have or not, we just can't keep in the excitement of what Christ did for us and what he will do for others. So good news is made to be shared. And then number three, good news is made to be lived in. Lived in. We need to live in the reality of the good news that's in this book. Is it true or not? It's true. Is it for us or not? Yes, it's for us. Every promise that God has in this book is a bit of good news for every Christian. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. That's good news. I can call on the creator of the universe. I can pray to God that made everything and sustains it, and he will answer me and show me things I have not even thought of. Great and mighty things. I can't even imagine. Just stop and think about that. Isn't that good? I mean, I can go to the one that made everything, everything that I can see and everything that I can't see. He made it all. Made every bit of it. And the good news is, he says, hey, if you'll call unto me, I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you haven't even thought about. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If God wants me to do it, I can do it. I can do all things. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And yet we live, so many of us live, worried and fret about things. That God says, well, I'll take care of you if you just let me. There's a woman in our church tonight that's in the hospital. And she's in the hospital because she can't stop worrying. She's literally worrying herself to death. Physically worrying herself to death. And so many Christians live their life that way. We don't take this good news and we don't live in it. Now, I've seen advertisements on TV, and you have too, where they advertise this product or this service, and they'll say, call now, $19.99, and you can have this thing. And it'll do all these good things for you. And if you call within the next 20 minutes, we'll give you two of them. I've never called. I don't believe 1 minute of it. Then I see these people on TV that give these testimonials. You know, I see this real thin man or this real thin woman. Well, I've lost 180 pounds just by eating this meal in a box. And then I see these guys with a full head of hair. And here's what I looked like before. I didn't have any, but look at me now. You can have all this. I hear these people say, you can make all this money working out of your home. You don't have to work for anybody else. Just stay at home and make all this money. Now, I've never called any of those people either. Never have. I believe they want my money, but I don't believe what they say. I guess you might say, Bro Leonard, I'm from Missouri. I want to be shown. I have become a cynic. I don't believe it. I just don't believe what they say. I don't believe it's for me. I don't think it'll work. And I wonder if we haven't become cynics when it comes to the good news and the promises of God. I mean, we read them in the Bible, and we know it's God's word. And yet, we live our lives a lot of the time without the things that God wants us to have because we don't believe his promises or we don't believe they're for us. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Malachi 3:10. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. You see, the God of this book invites us and he says, come on, come on, put me to the test. Try me out. Taste me and see if I'm not going to keep every promise that I've given you. Just put me to the test. That's what he wants us to do. There are thousands of promises in this book. Thousands of them. Every one of them has a benefit attached to them. Every one of them. And yet, we don't claim them. We don't claim them. And I've told you this story before. Brother Leonard reminded me of it the other day. About, I think when we get to heaven, Jesus gives us our tour of heaven. We're going to see some big warehouses over to the side. We're going to ask our Savior, what's in those buildings? All those big warehouses, what's all that stuff over there? And he's going to say, that's all the stuff I wanted to give you, but you never let me. You never trusted me. You never claimed my promises. Had it all ready, had it all waiting. I was ready to open the windows of heaven and shower it upon you. But you didn't trust me. You didn't ask me. And what a shame. I don't know about you. I don't want to miss anything God has for me. Nothing. I want to get it all. And I want you to have it all. And so that's why I'll preach sometimes like this. Every promise in this book is true. And every promise in this book is for you. Claim them. Live in them. Every day. Every day. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the good news that's in this book. And I pray tonight that we would hear it, we would act upon it, we would share it, and we'd live in it. And I pray, Father, again, that you give us some opportunity in the next few days to share Jesus and that we could see somebody come to know him as their Savior. Dismiss us now with your blessings. Give us safety as we go to our homes tonight and in all the activities tomorrow. I just pray that you give everybody traveling mercies and help them get safe to their destination, help them to get safely home. Father, help us to put Christ in the middle of our Christmas as we celebrate. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Merry Christmas to y'all, and see you on Sunday.